Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
I'm Laura Stanley, host of Inside School Food. You are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. On the phone today, we have, I'm actually extremely thrilled about this, one of my favorite bourbons that I can even think of, since I've been drinking bourbon, which is probably longer than I should have legally or responsibly, but one of my favorite bourbons is Wild Turkey, and one of my favorite rides is Wild Turkey as well. And one my very, I would probably say my go-to favorite Wild Turkey is the rare breed. It's the single barrel, cash strength. And I could go on and on talking about Wild Turkey, but I would rather let you hear it from the guys. So on the phone today, we have Jimmy Russell and also son Eddie Russell from Wild Turkey. Welcome to the show, guys.
Well, thank you for having us. This is Jimmy.
Thanks, Damon. This is Eddie Russell.
Good to hear from you guys. How's everything going down there in Kentucky?
Going good right now. We've had a lot of snow the last couple of weeks, but it's beginning to warm up, and the weather's pretty good today. Sun's shining, but we've had a lot of snow and this winter and a lot of rain, which is unusual for us.
Yeah, we're kind of experiencing the exact same kind of pattern here. We got a lot of sunshine today, but the snow's melting off, and We're able to walk around and not fall down from slipping on the ice, so it's pretty good. So let's talk about the actual aging process of what that means for you. Because you guys, does Kentucky get a lot of snow during the winter? Or, I mean, when we talk about like the rick houses, you know, it's a unique climate zone that Kentucky has for the aging, you know, and the contracting and expansion of the barrels. So, like, when you get hit with a lot of snow, what does that do for the whiskey in the barrel?
It doesn't have any effect on it. You know, it's unusual for us to have the snow we had. We have very little snow here, but this winter we've had more snow than we have in the last 100 years. So, it doesn't, you know, it'll average out over a 7 or 8 year period. It's been a little colder this winter than normal, but then over the years, it'll average out.
Yeah. Jimmy, speaking of over the years, you've been with Wild Turkey for, 60 years now, something like that?
Last September is my 60th year with Wild Turkey.
Wow. That's amazing. I commend you, sir. That's a long run, and that's shows a lot of dedication.
I've enjoyed every minute of it.
How old were you when you started?
I started in September, and I've been 20 in November.
Wow.
I'm 8 years old right now.
That's a long run, my friend.
And, yes, sir.
And how long has Eddie been working with Wild Turkey?
I started June the 5th of 1981, so I'm in my 34th year, just getting started.
That's crazy. I was born June 8th, 1981, so you've been working for them a few days longer than I've been alive.
That's right.
That's a heck of a run, too. What was your, Eddie, what was your job that when you started with the company? What did you start doing?
I was the bottom man in the union. I dumped bottles, stacked cases, mowed grass, rolled barrels, painted buildings. So whatever anybody else didn't want to do, if you're the bottom man in the union, you get the worst job.
Yeah. I hear that. But you worked your way through. Hey, you know what? Actually, so growing up with the company and with your dad being there for 60 years, which is incredible, and I don't want to get you in trouble or anything, but what was your first experience with bourbon?
Oh, I'd say I didn't drink till I was 21.
Yeah, I believe that.
But, yeah, I mean, probably, Jimmy always tells everybody, my first taste of bourbon was at 6 months. I was probably teething, and he rubbed a little on my gums to get me to quieten down. And then as a younger kid, if you coughed a little bit at your granny's, she'd go make you a hot toddy, which was bourbon and lemon or lime and honey and sugar, and that would she'd give you a couple spoons full and cover you up to break your fever. But, you know, later on in the teenage years, I really never liked beer or other alcohol, so bourbon was always my first choice.
Yeah, I feel like that's a lot of us had to go through a lot of different types of drinks to get to appreciate bourbon the way we do now. I can't tell you how many bad drinks I had and how many I won't have again now that I know. But, you're going back to what you're saying about the whenever you'd have a cold or have a cough, you'd have a hot toddy. And you guys actually, back in, it was actually bicentennial year, wasn't it? It's like 76, right? You came out with the Wild Turkey Honey, which was actually the first flavored bourbon, right?
Yes, that was, we come out with the Maryland, actually it was called Wild Turkey Honey Liqueur at that time. And then a few years later it was changed, same thing, it was changed to American Honey Liqueur. But we've been on the market with since the late 70s. Everybody else is just now coming out with the honey bourbons.
Well, they're coming out with a lot of flavored whiskeys these days, huh?
Yes, they are. It's a lot of flavored whiskeys coming out on the market now.
I remember I used to work at a little whiskey shop in Red Hook, Brooklyn, called Linnell's. You know Linnell Smothers?
Who? Linnell, I've known her for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. So I was working there, and I remember on the shelf having the Wild Honey Turkey Liqueur, and I remember when it changed over to Wild Turkey Honey. I remember when that hit the market, when it changed over, because it used to be in a bottle, like a bottle that kind of actually looked a little bit like the rare breed bottle, right? It was like kind of like a squattier one with a neck.
It was a hexagon-shaped bottle with turkeys all the way around the side and a big long neck on it.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. I think I might still have a bottle of that somewhere in my collection.
Yes.
I hope I do. So what do you think? What's your take on the flavored whiskey kind of demographic, if you will?
Well, I guess maybe we was a little ahead of our times, but many in the 80s probably, we tried a few different ones. We had one called Buckshot, which was a cherry-flavored bourbon. We tried several of them, but the only one that's ever done well for us is American Honey.
Well, I think there's a reason why, you know. Like, to me, they're I think with like flavored vodkas and like a lot of the different, just like flavored different types of spirits that already are flavored, you know, just naturally, been like a whiskey or like a rum, you know, they get their flavor from like the natural way that you make it. It's kind of, to me, it's cutting out, you know, a couple of steps in making your drink. And I think when you have something like a Wild Turkey Honey liqueur, or even the modern like Wild Turkey Honey, it makes more sense, because, you know, going back to what you're saying about the hot toddy, it's like to make a hot toddy with wild turkey honey, it just makes sense, and it actually kind of saves you a step there too.
You're already, yes, it does.
Yeah, and also it's very very consistent too, right?
That's what we try to be consistent with, our Wild Turkey bourbon and our Wild Turkey Honey Liqueur. Be consistent day in, day out, year in and year out.
So how long has Wild Turkey been around?
Actually, the brand name of Wild Turkey started in the late 1930s to early 40s when the Wild Turkey brand name became Wild Turkey brand name.
Mm-hmm. What was it? Give me a little background on the history of that distillery.
Well, the distillery here, where we are in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, was built in about 1869 and been in operation ever since. It was known as, one time, as the Anderson County Distilling Company. It was known as the J.T.S. Brown Distilling Company at one time. One time it was the Rippey Brothers Distilling Company. But since 1971, everything with Wild Turkey has been done here in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky.
I, you know, one of my favorite, I, I'm kind of a sucker for, some people might not like these labels, but, you know, things like the old Fitzgerald, the old Fitzgerald label, and the JTS Brown, and like those, I love. I used to be a graphic designer before I got into this whole world, got swallowed up in it. But I love that classic look of like that JTS Brown, and like there's something iconic about these old whiskey labels, you know. Like I've got probably more than I should probably admit to a bunch of old whiskey bottles that I just collect because I love the imagery. Oh, and on that note, there's actually like I'm sure you guys do too. I collect a lot of like kind of antique glassware and like bar tools and stuff like that. And I've got I had one of those decanter bottles, you know, the ceramic ones that they were doing a lot in like the 60s and 70s with like the different shaped bottles. I've got some old Wild Turkey ones, and it got me on a collecting kick of collecting these like the ceramic, well, I think they're glass, maybe painted, but I think some of them are ceramic too. But those different decanter bottles are like collectibles. I'm sure you probably have some of those lying around, right?
Oh, yes. All of ours were ceramics. We started in 1971 with the first one, and we had eight in that series, one a year for 8 years. And then we come out after that with four in a series called the Laurel series. It had a book on it, a stump on it. And then after that, we come out with the wildlife series, the wild turkey and the coyote, the wild turkey, the fox, the wild turkey, the skunk, the wild turkey, several different ones then. We haven't done it since 1988. Now, all of ours were ceramics.
It's probably pretty expensive to produce those nowadays, huh?
Oh, very expensive nowadays. And, you know, everybody got into that business at one time. There all different kinds of ceramics were out there. And nowadays, people's a little talking about them now again, but, you know, they're so expensive now, I don't see any reason to come back with them.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of brand loyalty and a lot of whiskey collectors out there that might be into it, but I don't think, it might be a little too expensive to produce. I know that there's actually a shop out in, one of my bartenders was out in L.A., a few weeks back, and he found a big shop that just had a huge collection of them, but they were, even empty, they were still charging what you might pay for, say, like a bottle of Wild Turkey American Spirit, which, by the way, going to talking about the packaging thing, the Wild Turkey American Spirit, that's a really nice collector piece, too.
You guys, yes, that was. The American Spirit was a one-time deal. We put out, every few years, we put out a limited edition, and that was one of our limited editions.
What goes into deciding what the limited edition bottlings are going to be?
Well, it's really based on finding some special barrels. Like, you find some, and you take care of them. You move them around the warehouse to get the flavors you want. So it's just something a little special for the bourbon connoisseurs out there that want to see some of your high-end stuff. So we did the American Spirit, which is a 15-year-old. We did Tradition, which was a 14-year-old. I'm going to release a new one this year. It's going to be a 17-year-old, which will be the oldest whiskey we put out here at Wild Turkey in America. So it's just barrels that you were fooling with, taking date off of, or it's some that you found that just taste extremely well. So you set back a few hundred, you know, and you usually keep it around 30,000 or 40,000 bottles, not a huge amount.
That's it's not a huge amount. I mean, I got that many bottles in my house right now. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
but I think it's really neat the way that's, you know, well, you know, when you're moving these barrels around the warehouse, I mean, you develop a relationship with them, right?
Yeah, it's just like this 17-year-old. I've been fooling with these since they were made, because we actually had run out of space here and stored them in a brick warehouse down on the river in Kentucky. And so I was really keeping a close eye on them, because Jimmy normally doesn't like the brick warehouses. They don't age quite as well as our old metal-clad warehouses with a lot of windows. So I was really keeping an eye on them, and I moved them back here to the metal clad, and it was just stuff I was trying to keep enough data on them to see the difference between the brick warehouses being down in the holler like that or up on top of the hill like we are. It turned out the liquid really turned out fantastic. So I held on to them, moved them around the warehouse, got the flavors I wanted, and next thing I know, they're 17 years old, so I'm going to release them out this fall probably.
Great. Do you have a name for it, or can you say?
Still sort of working on that a little bit. I was first looking at Journey because it's been through such a journey going around, but it may be called Master's Keep now, so closer it gets, there'll be more coming out on it, but it may be one of those two's names. So Master's Keep or Journey.
Cool. I don't want you to divulge too much information before you release it, but I still want to know about it. All right, Jimmy, Eddie, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll continue talking with the guys from Wild Turkey.
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy, and on the phone today, unfortunately, you guys aren't in the studio, but that's okay. Next time you're here in New York City, we'll get you in the studio, and we'll actually share a drink together. But on the phone, we have Jimmy and Eddie Russell. Now, we talked about some different things about flavored whiskeys. We talked about Eddie's promotion. And congratulations again to Master Distiller.
And thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's a big job to fill. That's a big barrel to fill, man. So, we've seen over the last, I'd say 7-8 years, I guess, is when it really started hitting. But there's been a huge growth in the American whiskey category. And how's that affected you guys? And what do you think about that, guys?
Well, that's one of the things, that in the 50s and 60s and early 70s, the bourbon was strong. Then the white goods come along, and a lot of people's younger generation, your age, started switching over to white goods. And now everybody's going back to bourbon, and especially the export market. The export market's huge now for bourbon. But all over the United States, all over the world, bourbon is really growing strong right now.
Yeah, it's both bourbon and rye. I mean, the rye. I mean, I know that you guys were making the 101 rye for a while, and then you stopped making the 101 rye, and then you brought it back. Was that just due to supply and demand issues, or?
Yeah, it's for the last 30 years, nobody at all hardly drank rye. We just made a little bit. And then it's been the fastest growing product for the last 4 or 5 years, 25-30%. And the problem in our business is we make it today and put it in the barrel, and we don't release it for 5, 6, 10, 12 years. So it took us a little while to catch back up. Now I'm making about 8 times as much rye as I was making 4 or 5 years ago. So hopefully it keeps on going. If not, Jimmy's probably going to kill me.
I think it's there to stay. I think you're safe. I think actually you might want to up it to 9 or 10 times the amount.
But I'm growing each year, so we're keeping a very close eye on it. Yeah, it's amazing what the bartending mixology community has done for the rye, because I believe you could contribute all that growth to them making the mixed drinks and the younger generation drinking them with the rye whiskeys.
I think a big part of that too is that guys like you and Jimmy started getting out there in the world more. You know, like when the concept of the brand ambassador came along, there was a lot more connection to the distilleries. Well, and really what that equals out to is it's education on the brands and the process. And then they, wouldn't you agree? Like, people build a relationship with that.
Yes, very much so. You know, I guess I was one of the first ones to go out 25 years ago. Before that, it was all marketing salespeople out in the field. And they started me out in the field working with our distributors and people and general public and all. And it's become a big part of our business now. And people's well educated now. They understand what bourbon is and know all about it. They know everything about it. When I first started out, it was all whiskey. Didn't make any difference. Basically, the comments you got. But nowadays, everybody's looking for that good flavor, good body and all. And that's what we try to keep with Wild Turkey. And it's just continued to keep growing and growing and growing. Another one of the big things that's happened in the last several years is the ladies, the women, have become big in the bourbon business. You have the Women's Bourbon Society now, the women of the whiskey of the world and everything. So the ladies have become big in the business now, too.
Yeah, there's other organizations like LUPEC, and, also there's Speed Rack, which is a very popular all-ladies cocktail competition. And, honestly, like, to me, that it's like the most exciting time, for both the spirit side and for the bar side. And I remember, like, about 8-9 years ago, I was behind the bar, and there was one day, all of a sudden, two really attractive ladies came into the bar and both ordered whiskeys. And it was the first time that I think anyone, and like, I think any lady had ever ordered whiskey from me, and I was like, whoa, I was blown away. And I was like, yes, this is great. But yeah, I think you're definitely right on all those points. I think, it's funny to even go back to what you're saying about how, like, the Wild Turkey honey liqueur, when it was for the ladies back in the day, but now it's, you cut the honey out, I think it was the gateway whiskey.
Yeah, I think that's been the most exciting and different thing in our industry was, like you said earlier, it used to be we really didn't get people until they were 45 or 50 years old, until they'd sort of run through all those other products and drinks and stuff, where now we're seeing so much of that 25 to 40-year-old male and female. And to me, the bartending mixology, going back to those classic drinks, the Manhattans, the old fashions, and things like that, really changed everything for us, which is really exciting for me with just 30 years in the business, seeing what's happening. Because, if you get them at that age, then they're always going to drink your product.
And you're absolutely right. There's a lot of brand loyalty, also spirit category loyalty. It's a lot, same thing with like rums, and people who are in like tiki drinks, stuff like that too. There's a lot of like loyalty. I think another thing is that, they always say work smarter, not harder. I think people are drinking smarter and not as hard. I mean, especially when the recession hit, people were like, all right, we're not going to go so crazy spending our money on quantity. It's more about quality. And I think with cocktails and with spirits and with food and everything, it's like there's certain kind of idealism of like preservation for these like classic styles, with the classic cocktails and the classic spirits. It goes back to like I said before, I mean, I don't know. I probably eat barbecue more times a week than I should, but I like it because it reminds me of home, and also it's delicious too. But that's the same thing with. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I like to drink American whiskeys. Besides the fact that I'm a huge patriot, But yeah, I think there's definite, like you're saying, like if you get someone in there early enough to understand what this is and get them kind of committed to the preservation of it. But then again, it's all about the education, because you know, I remember my first shot of whiskey. Well, two things were wrong about it. I shot it, first of all, and it wasn't good whiskey. And I didn't drink any whiskey actually for probably about 5 years after that, because I didn't really like the way that it was presented to me, you know? And I think nowadays we've got that education, and I wish I could go back in time and, first of all, pick a different whiskey. And I'm not going to tell you which one it was. Well, I'll tell you after the show, but I can't say it on air. But I would have a better whiskey, and I would take time and hang out with it. Whiskey takes a long time to make. You should take your time drinking it, right?
That's right. And I think, you know, the high ends, the small batches, you know, like the Russell's, the rare breed, showed the kind of flavor and taste that you could really have, instead of the, you know, younger four-year-olds that hadn't matured right and didn't have enough age on them. So I think that's been a big plus, releasing those type things.
Bourbon's made to sit out and enjoy. It's not made to shoot. Something to sit out and enjoy the flavor, the taste of it and all.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Do you, okay, so we talked about some of your kind of custom higher-end lines and about some of the different things that you have coming up, but if someone wants to sit down and relax and have a glass of Wild Turkey, can they do that at your distillery? Oh wait, you guys just got a new visitor center too. You guys have been working on that, right?
Yes, we have a new distillery, new visitor center, and new bottling facilities. Our old facilities was built in the 1800s, and we run out of space. Where we sat on Kentucky River and the highway. So we had all this property up on top of the hill on the same piece of property, just moved it up the hill about a half a mile. So we have a beautiful new visitor center where you can stand in the room on the second floor, do a tasting, and you're looking out on the Kentucky River and the two bridges, the railroad bridge, the automobile bridge, beautiful scenery there that you can stand and look and see all around what's going on here at the Wild Turkey Distillery.
That sounds awesome. Well, I'm going to be down there soon, so I'll have to hit you guys up when I'm around, if you'll have me and show me around.
We'll be glad. Just let us know when you're coming. We'd be glad to show you around, show you everything that we do.
That's great. Can't wait. Guys, Jimmy, Eddie, thank you so much for being on the show today, and it's been a pleasure talking with you. Again, congratulations to you, Eddie, for the promotion to Master Distiller. I'm very excited for you. I'm very excited to see all the new things that are happening with Wild Turkey, one of my favorite whiskeys.
Well, thank you, and my promise to everybody is I won't change anything about what Jimmy's built in the last 60 years, so you'll always have Wild Turkey taste the same way.
Thank you very much for having us.
That's great. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much, and I'll see you soon. That's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check in to Heritage Radio Network for many, many more like this. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.